Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to wish every one of my Facebook friends all over the world a very happy new year, 2018. Today is officially the first day of the new year, and I wouldn't be anywhere else in this world but today in front of my computer, doing exactly what my passion and love is, and that is being a voice of hope and freedom to all Iranians. Well, today is our official new year, but in Iran, there is an uprising like you've never witnessed before. This uprising, this protest, 79 cities, thousands of Iranians out day after day in the streets. This is day number 5, and my dear Iranian friends are chanting death to the dictator. They're tearing down posters of the supreme leader. They're putting their lives on the line because they are desperate for freedom. What initially began just a few days ago as a response to the rising unemployment and to the Iranian involvement in Syria and Yemen, with all of the money being fueled to terrorism and decorating the Palace of Imams, Iranians have taken to the street in absolute anger. No jobs, high inflation, unemployment. It began as an economic tirade, but it has blossomed into something much more. What we are witnessing all over the world is the Iranian people are tired of Islam. They're tired of the Islamic Republic inhabiting and occupying their land. For centuries, they have been under the control of Islam in one form or another. And this uprising, which is very similar to the 2009 uprising after the election or the re-election of Ahmadinejad. This uprising has become fierce. At this time, the Revolutionary Guard has not been called out. Somehow they feel as though, well, we can contain them. But every day, the numbers grow exponentially. I have been busier, more busier than I've ever been in my life before on my Facebook page. If you go to my Facebook page, you will see video after video after video. Some of these videos my Iranian friends have sent to me on Instagram, and I've uploaded them and put them on Facebook. All of my other pages are filled with these videos. The Cross in the Desert page is filled. The Chasing After Rainbows page is filled with videos. I've tweeted. I've never been busier in my life than these last few days, but this is the passion and the thrill of my life. In some cases, the Iranian government, because they want to shut down all of the information flow to other parts of the world, have in some cases, in some cities, shut down the internet, shut down Telegram, and other sources so that the Iranians cannot get this information out. And so in response to that, the Iranian people, knowing that this is going to happen, have asked me, keep our videos going, keep the story going. Initially, the Western media just completely ignored this. And I think what happened is that they saw so many videos on YouTube, up on Facebook, and they have taken notice of what's going on in Iran. And they are starting now to finally report the happenings in Iran. This is an uprising. The force has awakened. The Iranian people are not just tired of the economic situation. They're not just tired of the billions of dollars of resources going to fund terrorism by the Iranian regime. They are tired of this dictatorship looming over their heads. They want freedom, and they want it now. And I have videos of Iranian citizens going up on billboards and posters and tearing down pictures of the Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei. They're also burning pictures of Khomeini. This revolution that initially began when the Shah was in power, and then Islam took over in February of 1979, this initially was supposed to be some great movement for democracy and freedom, but Khomeini lied. He took advantage of some vulnerable people that didn't like the Shah and his policies. He took advantage of it, and he hijacked that demonstrations in 1978 and used it for his advantage so he could bring in Islamic rule, the rule of the mullahs. It's been going on now for almost 39 years, and there is a whole new generation that wasn't born during the revolution that cannot identify with old men in power, mullahs, and they see the fruit of Islam, what's happening in their country. They see that there are no freedoms, no freedom of protest, and no freedom of religion, and they are desperate and thirsty for religion. And that's precisely why I would be no other place today but in front of this computer. I have watched these videos all weekend, and I have seen a desperate group of people that are tired. They're weary. They're angry. They're frustrated. They don't want another year under the stranglehold of Islam around their neck. And what is so important during this uprising, this revolution, is that unlike past presidents, the Iranian people have the full support of our commander-in-chief, Donald Trump. During the 2009 uprising, as a result, when Iranians feared that the election had been rigged, Barack Obama never tweeted for them, never spoke for them, never did anything for them. Past presidents from Clinton, Carter, and Bush have not spoke for the Iranian people. But this president, Donald Trump, is fully supporting the people of Iran. And I can only tell you that with the support of Donald Trump, This movement is energized unlike any movement ever before. And I want you to hear the tweets over the weekend of what Donald Trump was saying to the Iranian people. Quote, this is from December 29th. Many reports of peaceful protests by Iranian citizens fed up with regime's corruption and its squandering of the nation's wealth to fund terrorism abroad. Iranian government should respect their people's rights, including the right to express themselves. The world is watching. That particular tweet garnished over 30,000 tweets, 60,000 retweets, for a total of 138,000. Again, Donald Trump, the next day, the entire world understands that the good people of Iran want change. And other than the vast military power of the United States, that Iran's people are what their leaders fear the most. Oppressive regimes cannot endure forever, and the day will come when the Iranian people will face a choice. The world is watching. These particular tweets demonstrate that this president, who believes that this Iran nuclear deal is a complete disgrace and a sham, is not just speaking out against the Iran deal that Barack Obama made. He is reaching out to the people of Iran, pledging his support for them, and saying to the Iranian people, I will stand behind you. I will take care of you. I will protect you. With that in mind, Donald Trump has expressed his solidarity with the Iranian people. He says in every tweet, the world is watching, and he is taking careful consideration of the human rights violations that are going on there too. And so this support from Donald Trump has completely changed the whole demeanor of this uprising. These Iranians are energized like never before. And had it not been for the silence of Barack Obama in 2009, circumstances could have been different. And it very well could have been that the Iranian people would have been in power. They are desperate for freedom. They are protesting. They are speaking out. And when I see this, I see power. I see power of the people. This is what they want. They want a representational government like we have here. They want a government that is of the people, by the people, for the people. They're tired of this theocracy. This theocracy has done nothing but bring death and destruction in their lives. In almost every protest I've witnessed and looked at, I see a sea of young people in the city of Rasht, Esfahan, in more than 79 cities all over Iran. The people are speaking, are rising up. And I want to take you now to my Facebook, and I want to read to you something that I wrote, one of the last things I wrote just last night. It just came to me so clearly, and I thought about what is happening. I had heard that there was rumors. I can't substantiate the report, but there have been rumors that the Iranian regime was leaving the country, taking their wealth. They were leaving. And also, I heard rumors that the Persian army was going to join the fight with the people. And so what I want to do is take just a couple of minutes here and go to my Facebook page, and I want you to hear this quote that I made. Very important. It is from Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. I believe the appointed time has come. The people of Iran have spoken. And I believe that God is sovereignly removing this evil Iranian regime. The most important thing that you and I can do is to continue to tell their stories, to post the videos on our pages, to keep this uprising alive. There will be times when the government will step in and shut down the internet. That's when you and I step in with the videos and keep their movement alive. Keep it alive to the media so that the media sees that these people are not just small in number and it's not just some temporary thing, that these are people that are tired and that they're desperate for freedom and that they will not stop until they have that freedom. I believe this will continue. I don't believe it's going to just die out and fizzle out Sunday. I believe it's going to get bigger and bigger every single day that we watch. Now, while we post the videos, one of the other most important things we can do is go to the throne of God in prayer and bring the plight of the Iranian people to the Lord in prayer and cry out to the Lord for them. They need our constant prayers. And I'm not just talking about a quick prayer. I'm talking about gathering together your friends, your Bible study, your church, and spend time interceding and crying out for these people. For more than 7 years, I've been doing this. And when I was an employee at Family Christian Bookstore, and when the bookstore was still alive, I had book signings. And every book signing I had, I wasn't just there to sell books about the Iranians. I was there to educate and to make aware the people of what's going on. I would hand out prayer guides and my blogs to let them know they need our support and prayer. This is the most important thing that you and I can do, is to play these videos, to post these videos, and to pray for them, and to let them know that we support them. Now, the son of the Shah, Reza Pahlavi, from Iran National Council, or National Council of Iran, is fully supporting this. President Trump is fully supporting this. And what the other nations of the world need to do is to stop doing business with Iran, cut off economic ties, boycott the Iranian government that's there. This government is illegitimate. It's the Islamic Republic government. It has nothing to do with the history and the true identity of Iran, and they need to be boycotted. This evil Islamic regime needs to go, and we do it by playing these videos every single day, speaking out for our Iranian friends every single day of every moment, and praying for them. Right before I put together this broadcast, the Lord had made clear to me about a specific message he wanted his people to hear. And I want to share that with you today. It is one of the most common, well-known Bible verses, Exodus chapter 14. And that verse has been quoted a time and time again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. A verse that is very precious to me for my Iranian friends that I have used time and time again, and it's published in my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, is from Psalm 72. I posted this yesterday on my page, and in the post I said very clearly, the Iranian people need a revolution of the heart. They need a love revolution. They need the Lord Jesus in their heart. Because when all is said and done, even if they should have freedom and have a new government will never satisfy the hunger of a broken and a scarred heart. No government can fill that void. Only Jesus can fill that void. And one of the prayers from the Psalms that I have constantly been crying out for my Iranian friends is from Psalm 72. It says, as a promise to my friends in Iran, God, that is He, will rescue the poor when they cry to Him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and He will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to Him. My dear Iranian friends, this is a promise from God Himself. He says He will defend you. He will help you, that he rescues the poor, that he helps the oppressed, that he feels the emotions, the pains of the weak and the needy, and he promises to rescue you. He promises to bring you out of the slavery of Islam. He will redeem you from oppression and violence because your lives are precious to him. This book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, is a book about their stories. It's a book that puts them on the front lines so that when you read this book, you're not just reading about the blogs I've written. You're hearing their voices in the stories that I have in the book. What I want to do right now, I want to take us right to the Word of God. And I want you to hear a situation in the Bible that we're all familiar with. It is the children of Israel. We're under the yoke of the Hebrew oppression in Egypt, or the Egyptian oppression in Egypt. They had been slaves to the Egyptians. They had been crying out for deliverance. And finally, God answered their prayer by sending Moses. And through Moses, many miracles of judgment were brought down upon the Egyptian people and the Pharaoh. And so finally, when God struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians' family and the firstborn of all Egyptians, the Pharaoh reluctantly let the people of Israel go, the Hebrews. He lied. He decided to chase after them and to finally thwart God's purposes. In his mind, this is what he was doing. I will thwart God's purposes. I will bring them back into slavery. And I want you to hear in Exodus chapter 14, what is going on and how this applies to my Iranian friends. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses: order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Come there along the shores across from Baal Zephon, and then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. As you're hearing this story about the Pharaoh, think about the supreme leader of Iran who thinks that he has the people of Iran in his hands, that he can control them, that he can do what he wants to do. But God is saying, I will harden Supreme Leader Khamenei's heart, and he will do all he can to destroy you. But I have planned this, my people of Iran, in order to display my glory through the Supreme Leader and the Revolutionary Guard. After this, the Iranian, the illegitimate Islamic Republic will know that I am the Lord. And so we see here in Exodus 14 specific things happening. When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done, letting all of those Israelite slaves get away? They asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi Hahiroth across the Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and they panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness." The Israelites are terrified. They know now they are dead. They have their backs to the Red Sea, and they know soon they will be recaptured. Think about the Iranian people, desperate for freedom. The Revolutionary Guard has been called out to quell and to quench all protests. They are so happy that the world is watching. Donald Trump is supporting them, but now they see the forces, the Revolutionary Guard, they have no hope. They know they're all dead. They're much like the Egyptian situation here, with the Israelites to their backs to the wall. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And this is what I say to my Iranian friends in Tehran, in Isfahan, in Rasht, all the cities across Iran. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to keep moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the waters so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Then the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The crowd settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of the Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get them out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord, Israel, for the hands of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the body and the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servants Moses. This is absolutely pivotal. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. God's message to the people of Iran: I will fight for you. Remain calm. When the forces of Khomeini and Khamenei and the Islamic Republic and the Revolutionary Guard and the Basiji think they have cornered the people of Iran, the Lord will fight for them. He will cause confusion among the elite guards of Iran. He will bring confusion and chaos. He will surround this army, this illegitimate government. He will destroy them before the eyes of Iranians. And the Iranians will know that He is the true God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 49, the kingdom of God is coming to Elam. I will restore the fortunes of Elam, says the Lord Yahweh. And He is saying that to the people of Iran even today. My Iranian friends, you are hungry and thirsty for freedom. And God will give you freedom. But understand something. Freedom without Jesus is just another wall. There is a freedom that the Lord will give you, the Iranian people. He will deliver you from the oppression and the fear and the death and the destruction. And He will give you a physical freedom. He will give you a better government. But understand that that freedom alone is not enough. It is just another wall. And the freedom that God wants to ultimately give the Iranian people is Himself. It is the freedom from sin and judgment. It is the freedom that He gave 2,000 years ago. We see a scene in the movie Braveheart where William Wallace is crying out in that death scene, freedom. And He wants you to have that freedom. But He wants you to know Him. He wants you to understand that the many centuries of religious oppression, gift He wants to give you is not a religion, but a relationship with Himself. There is a great movement in Iran known as the underground church, the house church movement, that I know are praying fervently for this movement, this uprising, to become more than just a movement for physical freedom, but that the Lord will create a vacuum and a hunger in the hearts of the Iranian people so that they will find the true freedom that is in Masih, that is in Jesus. And so today, the Lord pledges He will fight for you. He will remove the yoke of oppression on your necks, on your hearts, on your families. He will bring salvation to Iran because He's good, because He's God, because He is a warrior, because He's the King of the universe, and because He loves you. And this is what God's promise is to the people of Iran. I want to take a few minutes to read an article written by a friend of mine. She's an Iranian-American activist, and I've had the pleasure of knowing her for 3 years. I wrote about her in my book, The Cross in the Desert, and it was just a couple of days before this uprising that my friend Danya Jam wrote an article about Iran. It's called Executions, Flogging, and Torture, and Ongoing Human Rights Abuses in Iran. I want you to hear from Danya this morning because she's a voice of truth for the Iranian people. And this is what she wrote on December 10th. This is just maybe a couple of weeks before this uprising. December 10th, 2017, marked the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, a human rights charter adopted in 1948. seeking to foster and protect the fundamental rights every citizen of the world is entitled to, such as freedom, equality, and justice. This document was established during the aftermath of World War II and the Holocaust, also a maiming to prevent genocide, massacres, and crimes against humanity from reoccurring. This charter has never been abided by Iran's theocratic dictatorship since taking power in 1979. The Islamic Republic systematically violates the human rights of its own people. In fact, the regime leads the world in executions, as it is known to hang the most prisoners per capita. In a span of just 4 days, between December 11th and the 14th, the regime executed 11 prisoners in cities across Iran. According to Iran Human Rights Monitor, a group dedicated towards reporting rights violations occurring in the country, the Islamic Republic has executed over 530 prisoners since July 1, 2017. During President Rouhani's tenure thus far, more than 3,200 inmates have been executed, and there remain thousands sitting in their cells awaiting their death, while simultaneously more death sentences are handed out. Amnesty International reported on December 12th that Iranian authorities confirmed the death sentence for Iran's Swedish scholar Ahmadreza Djalali, who is accused of spying. According to Amnesty, Djalali was subjected to torture and didn't receive a proper trial. Torture is a practice all too common in Iran's prisons, and inmates are persistently subjected to various forms of ill treatment during their incarceration. Recent reports indicate political prisoner Afshin Hussein Panahili was forced to undergo electric shock torture, and as a result, his head, back, and knee were badly injured. To make matters worse, Panahi was denied medical care and transferred to a hospital outside Sanandaji Central Prison, where he is detained. Regime authorities also continually deny critically ill political prisoner Zainab Jalalian transfer to a hospital. In protest, Jalalian launched a medical strike in March 2017, which is still ongoing. Regime authorities also continuously deny critically ill political prisoner, Zamani Zvi, a law student, was sentenced to flogging on December 7th. She is charged with disrupting public order for partaking in protests in Iran supporting the Kurdish independence referendum in the neighboring country of Iraq. In another recent instance, photos emerged on social media showing a public flogging that occurred on December 5th in Bajastan. Lashing is a very common practice in Iran's prisons, and it is used on political and ordinary prisoners as a form of punishment. On December 11th, thousands of Iranians participated in a demonstration in Paris organized by the National Council of Resistance, not only raising awareness and denouncing Iran's human rights record, but called on the international community to take swift action in bringing an end to rights violations in the country. The rally's message was, quote, to urge Western governments to condition their diplomatic and trade relations with the Iranian regime on ending the torture and executions in Iran. Now, also, there has been an uprising and a protest against the summer of 1988 when 30,000 people of all ages and walks of life in prisons across the nation were executed. The massacre in 1988 has gone unpunished thus far, and many of the officials responsible for this crime against humanity hold high government positions in the Islamic Republic. It should be made a top priority of the international community to assist in resolving the human rights crisis in Iran. There are thousands of people unjustly imprisoned in pain and in agony and in dire need for help. When a government is systematically silencing the voice of its people, as you can see in the Islamic Republic, it becomes the responsibility of institutions such as the United Nations to stand up for the oppressed. After all, isn't that occasions such as Human Rights Day and charters like the Universally of Declaration of Human Rights, isn't that what they're all about? This article is written by my good, dear friend, Donya Jam, about executions, floggings, and tortures, and the ongoing human rights abuses in Iran. Thank you, Donya, for being a voice of truth, for bringing a voice of hope to the Iranian people, and you heard it right here on the cross in the desert this morning. I want to take the last few minutes of my program to just shift your attention to my dear friends in Saudi Arabia. It's only been in the last year that I have been able to connect with them, and I have been speaking out against the male guardianship law that oppresses the women in Saudi Arabia. I have a good friend, Amna Al-Jawad, who I've been talking to about a year, have been doing programs about Saudi Arabia and talking about the plight of the women in Saudi Arabia. And just recently, back in October, she made public her situation. Her situation was that her father was abusive to her. He had forced her to marry her cousin, and she was under strict domination because of the male guardianship law in Saudi Arabia. And as a result of all of this, she left home. She ran away. She had been in hiding. She couldn't leave the country, but she finally, in desperation, made her case known. And she went on social media and recorded a video. And it was right after that video that Amna was captured, arrested, and put in prison, a women's prison. There are many, many thousands of women, just like Amna, suffering under the male guardianship law in Saudi Arabia, which keeps a woman prisoner. They can't go to the hospital without a male guardian's consent. They can't travel abroad without a male guardian's consent. They can't work. They can't do anything without their consent. And so as a result, Amna is now in prison. And I have been running a petition on my Facebook page about this situation. And so far, 321 signatures have been able to get on this petition. But I urge you to please sign that petition. I'm going to re-post it today because with everything happening in Iran, it's got pushed down my page. But please don't forget her. She desperately needs our hope, and she desperately needs prayer and freedom. One of the things that I'm very excited about in relationship to Saudi Arabia, there is a particular chess champion that is standing up for the women of Saudi Arabia. And I want to talk to you about this particular individual. Her name is Anna Musichuk. Anna Musichuk. She says, "I am ready to stand for my principles." Double world chess champion says she won't defend titles in Saudi Arabia because of the kingdom's inequality. She's Ukrainian. She's 27 years old. She's not going to go to Saudi Arabia, and where she can't even walk down the street unless she's accompanied by a male. She refuses to. She's thinking of the women of Saudi Arabia. Now, I want you to hear a little bit of her story. She says, "In a few days, I'm going to lose two world champion titles, one by one," Anna Musichuk says, "just because I decided not to go to Saudi Arabia." Musichuk is the defending world champion in two disciplines of speed chess, rapid, and blitz. In rapid, each player gets 15 minutes to complete all of their moves, and in blitz, it is just five. The 27-year-old Ukrainian had been looking forward to defending her championships won in Doha, Qatar, in 2016. But this year's competition, hosted by a political rival, has already faced far more opposition than any chess competition ever should. For Musichuk and her sister, Maria, another chess pro, their refusal is on the grounds that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia does not treat women with anything even approaching equality, a country where the sisters would not be allowed outside unless escorted by a man. Anna says, quote, "I decided not to play by someone's rules, not to wear abaya, not to be accompanied getting outside, and altogether not to feel myself a secondary citizen." So this is a woman. She is going to give up the money, the title, and the fame for the people of Saudi Arabia, for the women of Saudi Arabia who are oppressed by this government. Hats off to this brave, brave young woman who has said the money, the fame, the titles aren't as important to me as my own self-esteem and the women of Saudi Arabia. I am taking a stand and boycotting them. Anna Mosychuk, you are awesome, and you are a hero to me that you are taking your own fame and fortune and putting that at the bottom of the list and instead saying the women of Saudi Arabia are more important to me than my chess title and the money I would get. Hats off to Anna Mosychuk for not being afraid to stand up for the women in Saudi Arabia. As we've been talking this morning about the uprising in Iran, I have a song I want to play in tribute to them. It's by Big Daddy Weave. It's called The Lion and the Lamb.
Yeah.
Big Daddy Weave, a song very appropriate there. I love the title of this song, The Lion and the Lamb. Jesus came as that humble bondservant. He came as a lamb prepared for the slaughter to take our sin and judgment. But the Bible says he's coming back as a lion, a roaring lion, as the exalted Christ. He is the God of our salvation. He is the Lord of the universe. And this is so appropriate for what's happening in Iran, because God is a warrior for the oppressed and the hurting people. And that's what this broadcast has been about today. I want to recap a little bit about what's been going on to get some facts in your mind. The number one thing I want all of my listeners to know about this broadcast today is that you participate in two ways. That you be a voice for the Iranian people, in that you put these videos up on your page and let the world know what's happening there. Let's not let this movement die out. Number two, that you pray fervently for them, for freedom and for salvation. But I want to go back over where this began. It began back on Thursday the 28th. Thousands of Iranian sisters began protesting government corruption and a poor economy. And that's how it began. But over the weekend, the demonstrations grew to include counter-protesters. And some of those who were participating in the celebration of the anniversary of the Green Movement, which was a 2009 wave of protests that the government immediately shut down, they became involved. On Saturday, planned celebrations in honor of the demise of the Green Movement were converted into pro-government rallies. So you have the pro-government rallies coming out to face them. Now, so far, according to this, and I think we need to update our facts, there has been more than 50 arrests. And it says here in this article, two protesters have died. I've heard somewhere between 20 and 40. And so, again, some of these articles, they're not exactly relevant at this moment. Now, this has been going on in cities like Tehran, Mashhad, Isfahan, Kermanshah, Rasht, Qom, Sari, Hamadan. And you just have to go to my Facebook page to see all of these cities that are represented in my videos. Many of these protesters have chanted and called for death of the dictator, and that's referring to the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. And we know that they are not just fed up with the economy and their involvement in terrorism and representing Hezbollah and countries in Syria and things like that. They're tired of the money going to terrorism. They also hate the Islamic rule that is hanging over their head. And it's the unemployment, sure, that's part of it, 12.4%. Think about that. The sanctions have a lot to do with it. The unemployment has a lot to do with it, but they want freedom from Islam. If you look at all of these protesters, they're too young to have remembered the 1979 revolution. They grew up years afterward, but they know about it. And they see the fruit of Islam in their country. They want their homeland back. They are desperate to reclaim Iran as their homeland, because when the world thinks of Iran, they don't think of the historical Iran, a beautiful historical place of King Cyrus, of human rights, of the Persian Empire. When people think of Iran, the first thing they think about is the Islamic Republic and the government and the oppression. And the Iranian people are tired of this stereotype. Because if it wouldn't be for the Islamic Republic, Iran would be a beautiful place to visit, would be a beautiful country to go to. Its history is so rich there. And yet, today, when people think of Iran, this is all they think about, is Islam, oppression, death, and destruction. The people of Iran are tired of it. They are desperate for freedom. They want their homeland back. And the Bible says, the Lord says, I will fight for you. This is the message for the Iranians today. The Lord is saying to you, just stay calm. I will fight for you myself. Our God is a warrior. He is a God of truth. He hates injustices. He hates unrighteousness. He hates oppression and fear, and that's why he promises that he will rescue the oppressed when they cry to him. And today, and Jesus is standing with his arms of love, arms open wide, to receive you, to heal you, to give you hope again, to give you freedom again, to give you worth and value again. You see, Jesus is the God of absolute forgiveness, justice, love, righteousness, and mercy. Today is a day of history in the country of Iran, and God's Spirit is calling you to come to him, to know him, to find hope in him, to find truth in him, to find restoration and healing in him. My prayer to my Iranian friends in the midst of all this protesting is to connect with the very God of the universe and find hope and freedom in him that no government can give you, but Jesus alone can give you. God bless you. Have an incredible new year, and I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert.
Great of wrath our souls.